Well, even though we knew for a while this day was coming, still hit music lovers hard today. The news of the death of the great Aretha Franklin at the age of 76. To offer his thoughts on that, we're joined on the phone by Jed Gottlieb, the music critic of the Boston Herald. Jed, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Rich.
What was it about Aretha Franklin that made her so unique in the music world?
I think it was just about everything. Her talent ran really deep. Her career ran really long. She was an icon to the civil rights movement. She was a feminist icon. But behind all this always was this music that ran from soul to gospel. She dabbled in disco. She did in the 80s. She had a string of top 40 pop hits. She really could kind of take any genre, any song, and make it hers, make it distinctively hers.
Well, and yeah, she was such a great interpreter, and it didn't matter whose song it was. Once Aretha did that song, it seemed to become hers forever.
I think that's exactly right. I think of a few right off the top of my head. One would be The Wait by The Band, which is a great song. But when you hear her version, it's like the other one doesn't even exist. The High and Mighty Beatles, Paul McCartney, Eleanor Rigby. And then you hear her do it and you're like, oh, wow. Yes, this is the way it should be done. And she did that over and over again with so many songs. And she also... But she also wrote her own songs, too. She has a really big catalog of songs that she wrote or co-wrote, songs like Think and Spirit in the Dark and Rock Steady. That's her talent was so much wider than her voice. It's just her voice was so impressive. That's what people always think of first.
And she had those great years with Atlantic starting in 1967 and then got together with Clive Davis in later years. And whether it was even filling in for, Pavarotti that she filled in for to sing opera, whatever she did. I wasn't so much that she changed with the times as much as the times seemed to always find a way to catch up with her.
Yeah, that is often true. That is often true. And I think, I think people forget how hard it is for an artist to maintain longevity. There are so many soul singers from the 60s who didn't even make it into the 70s, let alone, up until last year, she still toured and played, really impressive concerts. And she had these hits. People looked to her. Lauryn Hill of the Fugees and her collaborated on a song in the 90s. She did that huge pop duet in the 80s with George Michael. She could do it. She could keep going, which is just so impressive when so many people can't do that.
Yeah, she influenced so many people, but it just seemed like her music would always be there. Is there anybody who can replace that voice when you think of great American voices in song? I can't think of anybody off the top of my head that can immediately fill that role.
Yeah, I think that's right. I don't think there is someone, I don't think there's a line behind her sort of waiting to fill in. You have great singers nowadays. You have people like Beyonce who are just powerhouses, but they have a different feel. Voices are there's a little more production around them. So sometimes even if they are great, they don't kind of stand out quite as much. When you think of, you coming into this, you played Chain of Fools and you think of her, when her voice starts, that takes over the entire song. It's just the focal point. And I just don't think you have, maybe you have some, you have people with great voices, but to put it all together, to get those right arrangements, I think maybe Adele might be sort of the closest, but it's hard to do.
when she first came to prominence on the national scene, it was in the midst of very tough times in America. 1967, Detroit, other cities around the country were burning and dealing with riots. Is it a stretch to say that she has been and continued to be up until her death a voice of healing in America and someone who did, even in the times we're dealing with now, find a way to bridge the gap between black and white?
I think very much so. I mean, I think the soul music of the 60s was, I mean, provided a huge bridge, just as rock and roll, the initial burst of rock and roll did, where you had, you know, black kids and white kids listening to the same music, for the first time, kind of. I mean, it's what brought them together. And she was always very, she was outspoken in her black pride, in her, you know, feminist strength, in her character. But she also she gave plenty of room for everyone to enjoy her music. And she was thrilled, I think, that generations and different pockets of society could all, you know, get into this sound.
Much like Ray Charles, Sam Cooke, she began singing in the church. How important was that to her sound?
That was everything. That was 51% of it. She came up singing in her dad's church in Detroit with her sisters, and she went back and forth between sort of pop and gospel many times, sort of dragging the two towards each other each time. But her voice is a quintessential gospel voice that you hear in, you know, other people's recordings. It's just she had the sort of audacity, and I think it was very, very brave at the time to take, you know, this kind of sound and bring it straight to pop, to bring it to soul, to bring it to R&B.
We also forget, because the voice was so amazing, her skills on the keyboard as well. And I think of that incredible performance she had when Carole King was being honored, and she just blew the doors off the place doing Natural Woman.
That's exactly right. She was playing piano at a very young age, and there are videos you can see of her. You know, she had a string of kind of minor hits in the early 60s before she went on that tremendous run. And you can see videos of her, you know, playing even back then. I remember years and years ago, she did some studying at Juilliard to kind of brush up on her chops, and they said, well, you know, normally you have to audition, but we can make an exception in this case. Which seemed like the right call.
Yeah, I think so.
Amazing piano player, singer, arranger, and songwriter. Again, she could do it all. It's just when, you know, it's like if you found out that Wayne Gretzky was also, you know, a great basketball and baseball player, but you wouldn't think of that because, you know, you always think of what sort of he's identified with. And that was her voice was that main thing, but beneath it, so many other skills.
So many great recordings, so many great live performances as well. For you, is there a quintessential Aretha Franklin recording?
Oh, that's a good question. I think that maybe, it's hard. I think about the song Think, and sort of the sass and the joy and the power in that one. I just think it's so hard, you know, so many people, so many artists have 1, 2, 3 songs, but she's got so many songs that are so great.
No question about that. While we have you here, Judd, also wanted to ask you about a couple other topics. Did you get a chance yet to hear the undiscovered Kink song from the 1968 sessions?
I've heard this, and it's on my list of things to do, but I have not had a chance. But I think, you know, there's buzz about a reunion, and it's been sort of building very slowly and more certainly. So I need to, I need to get on that, maybe champion that to kind of push that reunion idea along.
Yeah, the music sounded great. This, what was it called? Time. We played a little bit of it yesterday, yeah. And it sounded great. Also, the news yesterday, I guess the best revenge is a solo tour. Lindsey Buckingham saying, well, okay, if I'm fired from Fleetwood Mac, I'll do a solo tour and release a compilation of some of my best works.
Exactly. Coming to New England, playing some shows, releasing his solo stuff. That, you know, who knows what exactly went down there. I'm interested to see what Fleetwood Mac will do with Mike Campbell from the Heartbreakers. I think it'll be kind of fun, but you know, Lindsey is not one to probably sit at home and sulk. He's gonna get out there. He's got enough fans and enough talent to keep going, so why not, right?
Right. And Jeb, before we let you go, is there any new David Lee Roth news to report?
That's a great question, and that is something that has gone dark for a little bit. I think all us Van Halen fans are waiting for that second reunion album that we thought would come a little faster, but you know, you can't get too excited about these things anymore. You just gotta, if they come, great. If not, you know, don't sit at home waiting for it to happen.
There you go. Jed Gottlieb, the music critic of the Boston Herald. Jed, always great to talk with you. We appreciate you banking time for us at late notice here this afternoon.
Absolutely. Good to talk with you, Rich.